Welcome to part two of our conversation with John Kazuka about the science of the dead. I was talking the other day about just the buildings, the structures that, you know, there's so many now where one can go and investigate. You can rent it out. I mean, this is something that didn't exist, you know, 10 years ago, or it was just starting around then. Is there an inherent danger in, you know, going into some of these places in mass, you know, just, you know, weekend after weekend after weekend, there's new people coming in. Everybody's kind of, you know, shaking the tree a little bit differently. Is there a danger in, you know, these places already have something going on in bringing out much more and almost creating, you know, this crazy battery of good, bad, whatever it may be, through just mass investigations? I mean, it seems like it could be. We may not know the results of this for quite some time.
You know what? That's something I always tell people. I mean, you got to be careful. You know, don't just go in headstrong. You got to know what you're doing, or at least assume you really do. Mm-hmm. And really have been doing it for a while, not leading your own investigations, but really studying what other investigators do. Because, I mean, there's a difference. As a TV show host, I'll tell you there is a total difference between what you see me do on TV what's actually happening while we're filming, mm-hmm. and we're behind the cameras. There's a tremendous difference.
Oh, sure.
You don't see everything. Like, you know, for us, you're seeing the best footage of about five nights.
Yep.
You know, but that's just it. There's things that are happening behind the scenes. So, I mean, you know, there's been some pretty nasty things that have happened to us. You know, sand in BC, I'll actually talk about that one because that was one of the freakiest.
And what is this place called?
What's that?
I didn't catch the name.
Oh, Sandon.
Okay.
Sandon, BC. So it used to be an old silver town, and it was basically wiped out, and it's a ghost town now.
Okay.
And there's probably about six or seven buildings left, but the old town hall is still there. And this house that is there is called the White House. We went into this place, and this White House actually has a really bad history. You know, stepdad wasn't very nice to stepdaughter and did some very horrible, atrocious things to her. Mm-hmm. Essentially kept her prisoner, so as in life was in death. So when we went in there, there were reports of this nasty thing. So, man, I'll tell you, we were all in different areas. We had all the cameras set up. You know, I was on this top floor. My wife and our line producer were in this room across the hall from me doing a crossover to try to help this girl who was stuck there. Mm-hmm. My producer was downstairs. We had a guest investigator with us just so we could, you know, really hit this house hard. And man, the floor lit up. You know, one of our investigators comes up and yells, "I've got this black image on the floor." And it was like the footage was intense. And then, yeah, this thing, she says it's gone, and you hear this big bang with zero epicenter. Mm-hmm. There's no electricity around there. There's nothing that could have caused that. If you've been to Sandon, you'll know where I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And man, this bang was so loud, and it was such a terrifying experience because it's just, everybody thought this bang came from somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And when you really look back at the footage, and me and my producer have done it a couple times now, it's just this terrifying thing because all our instruments started going nuts.
Yeah.
My wife goes, "He's coming." And then, you know, my Melmeter, mm-hmm. which, as you're aware, measures, you know, EMF as well as milligals, it takes off and just spikes. I was at something like 8.2. Mm-hmm. And then it draws back to zero in a split second. And then, you know, another guy downstairs, that we had a REM pod on the stairs that lit up like a Christmas tree and then shut off right away. And yeah, then this bang happens, like everything going on. It was such a crazy, terrifying thing to be a part of.
And what goes through your mind? I mean, when you're having these things happen to you, do you ever feel, you know, obviously it felt fairly ominous, you know, with something like that going on. Do you ever feel like we got to get out of here? Do you feel like let's stay and see what happens? What's going through your mind?
Well, my job typically is to stick it out. And there's only been once where I felt that, okay, there's no way I'm safe here. Mm-hmm. So I need to go. That was actually when we returned there.
Oh,
we returned there and it was just the four of us, from True North. Mm-hmm. And yeah, when we went there, it was not safe.
Tell me about the experience. What happened?
Well, that's actually, I can tell you that that's literally the first time we do believe we dealt with something demonic.
Okay.
We believe what's in there is demonic. Now, for me to say something's demonic is pretty tough because if I'm a demon, I'm not going after, Tom, Dick, and Harry. I'm going after, a larger target.
Yeah.
Somebody who can influence the world.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We went in there and, my wife, she's a psychic medium. So, she went in there and when she says it's hiding from me, that's usually an indicator it's not okay. It's something nasty. So we don't know whether it's just a negative entity or what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So when I go in there, I go in as the investigator, Dean's my cameraman and my producer, we go in with that in our heads and we walked into this place and I felt fine. Mm-hmm. I was fine. I was smiling before we went in. It takes a lot to rattle me. So I really don't get scared when I walk into these places.
Mm-hmm.
And we walk into the living room and it just felt really heavy. And, Dean's like, okay, well, give me a segue here. So I cut my segue and Dean goes, why don't you walk over to the closet where the black mass originally was?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, yeah, sure. No problem. So I walked over to this thing. And I started talking and asking it to give us a sign. And it actually physically started to affect me. I remember feeling this weird pressure behind my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And this pressure radiated throughout my head. And then I looked at him like, man, I got to get out of here.
Yeah.
And I guess Dean was telling me, he said, yeah, well, you were talking. You'd stop and pause for 20, 30 seconds and then pick up like you didn't stop at all. Which was really strange.
And you had no recollection of that happening. In your mind, you're just, things are going.
It's fluid. Yeah, it's fluid for me, So, yeah, so I ended up going outside. I guess Dean saw me and he said, you're pretty white when I was standing at the door. Like I was flush and, and I felt like I was going to throw up. It felt like this really intense migraine. That's the best way to describe it. And yeah. I don't get migraines.
I was just going to ask you, is there any other outside of an environment like that? What would you compare it to? And you said migraine. Okay.
Yeah, it was probably the most painful thing I've ever felt behind my eyes. Like it felt like someone's trying to push my eyes out of my head. That's the best way to describe it. So, I got outside of the house.
Do you think you were like, had you stayed there longer? I mean, this thing, do you think it was like the beginning of it trying to kind of take control of you?
No, I think it was the opposite. I think it was an attack and a warning saying, I can hurt you, get out.
Okay. Okay. Like pain. And okay. Wow. So you got out of there and you're standing outside the doorway. Was that the end of the night? I mean,
that essentially killed the entire investigation. Like the thing was, we didn't realize it at the time. I felt really sick and I got out to the front street of this white house and I was just leaned over trying not to throw up.
Mm-hmm.
Like I thought I was going to throw up and bad. I had that. My producer got very angry. Just this intense anger. Same with my wife. She had this anger kind of start, as did our line producer.
Mm-hmm.
So we got back and, they let me kind of lay down and try to shake it, which, it took about 2 hours, but it finally shook off.
Yeah.
We started researching it and that is a form of a demonic attack. So it's usually one person that was attacked will experience all the symptoms I had. And it was actually my producer asking me questions about the whole thing.
Wow.
And as I was answering him, he goes, yeah, that was an attack. And right down to a T, right down to, so my wife, she kind of got angry / borderline concerned. And my producer, same thing. He got this, he was a hockey guy as well, an enforcer style. And he got angry. Like he said, he hadn't felt that since those days. And our line producer, same thing. So all the stuff that actually happened was symptomatic of a demonic attack. So we'd actually at that point gotten a hold of the Catholic Church. The first thing I did was go see the priest and get anointed just to be safe, just to make sure that I was all right. And I wasn't an attempt at possession. I was fine.
Mm-hmm.
And as we spoke with the Catholic Church, we described everything that had happened.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they're actually going to be, well, not them themselves, but they actually referred us to an outsourced person who we've gotten in contact with, and we're actually going to be going back to Sandin with this person to try and get this thing out of there.
Wow. How do you feel about going back to that place after having that sort of experience there?
You know what? I'm not sure. I mean, me, myself, the biggest thing that I always tell people is faith is your biggest defense. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, I went in with fear in my heart already, knowing what was in there, and that was a big thing. So I think if I go back in there again, I'm going to have to, you know, have a different mindset. I'm okay with it, but I'm going to be a lot more careful in how I approach it. So, I mean, my job is to get results. You know, that's the way I see it. It's part of my job.
Going back to a place like that is scary, and just seeing how close you came with, you know, that experience in itself. Have you ever had anything follow you home from an investigation or anything like that?
Never. I've never actually experienced anything like that at all. I know that's something that a lot of people worry about, and I've yet to find evidence that it happens.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, anytime we go, we also, you know, keeping in mind, of course, we take proper measures when we leave. You know, it's not just, you know what, pack up the cameras, pack up everything, get in and go. You know, my producer, Dean Trumbly, is a pipe carrier in the First Nations culture. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's the practice I practice.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we always take steps to make sure that nothing is attached and stuff like that. So that's not to say it can't happen, but it hasn't happened.
You're taking precautions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure. What if you were to look back on, you know, the earlier days of you getting into this as to what you know now, what would you tell the younger version of yourself that's just getting started based on based on the knowledge that you have today?
Man, I would tell that kid that you don't know half as much as you think you do, and you best be careful.
What would you say was one of your, because there's so many, you know, things to learn, and it's different for everybody. What were some of the bigger missteps that you've made that you look back on and went, yeah, that was completely off base, but you learned from it?
Well, I'm going to say one of them was actually that White House. That was probably the biggest lesson I ever took home. Mm-hmm. You know, we've gone toe-to-toe with some nasty things, and we've always been protected. When I said I went in with fear in my heart, well, I went in and I was already weakened. I should have never gone in that building in the first place in the state I was in, mm-hmm. right? Between my wife's ominous warning and stuff like that, I should have never went in. So the biggest thing was, you know, that was a huge lesson for me.
Sure.
That was definitely one huge misfire for myself. You know, I mean, preparation, right? It's all in preparation.
Sure.
I'm not sure if it answers your question or not, but, you know, that probably is my biggest lesson.
That wraps up part two of our conversation with John. A big thank you to him for joining us and sharing his experiences on the air. Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for your support, and thanks for listening.